Okay, Chevra, so if you remember, we are discussing the dinim of muktzah machmas gufo. And muktzah machmas gufo, we said, has a definition in the sense of a non-definition. Right? The definition is it's something that is not a keli, nor is it an ochel. So anything that's not in those categories is muktzah machmas gufo. The question that we focused on a little bit is how do you define what a keli is? How do you define what a keli is? Does it follow the rules of kelim, let's say, in Hilchos, in Meseches Kelim, in terms of what's Mekabel Tumah? Does it follow the dinim of kelim in terms of what you can do as a Kinyan Seder? So it's not clear. Generally speaking, we assume that something which is an instrument is definitely a keli. Now, what I want to talk about briefly is a category called muktzah machmas iser. This is on the source sheets on page 14. Muktzah machmas iser is a category, but it's not a category. Meaning to say, the way muktzah machmas iser works is that sometimes you have a thing which is not usable. And therefore, it cannot be a keli, or it's not usable, and therefore, it is not an ochel. And by dint of that, because it is neither an ochel nor a keli, because it's not usable, so therefore, it reverts to its muktzah, machmas, muktzah, right? Whatever, muktzah migufo, whatever it's called, right? Muktzah machmas gufo. It reverts to that category because the iser makes it not a keli, etc. So far, so good. So the issue over here begins. There are two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Yesh osim beged sha'atnez v'yesh matirin. Right? There are some who say that you cannot carry a sha'atnez beged, and others say that it is mutter to be metaltel a sha'atnez beged. Okay, what's the reason why it should be mutter, or why it should be aser? So Mishnah Berurah writes that the reason why you cannot move it, the yesh osrim, is because it's aser lulav sho umuktehu vafilo tzarch gufam kama was aser, meaning it's not a klishem lachto leiser, because a klishem lachto leiser is something that is usable. If I have a beged shoshaatnez, it is not usable. So therefore, it is also even a tzarch gufo mekoma becomes muktzah machmas gufo, according to the opinion of the Yesh Osrim. The Yesh Matirim say mikoma kom it's a malbush who v'toras kli alav. Right. So there are two opinions. If I have a beged that I can't wear, it's called shatnez. Now I should point out that our dear beloved friend Muktzah Man, right? He's a superhero with a big mem on his chest, right? That was my suggestion for Purim costumes for anyone who wants, right? You could be Muktzah woman. But the point is that Muktzah Man comments, obviously, there's no issur of using shatnez as a shmata. If I have a shatnez thing and I use it to clean up my spills, so okay. But if I have a beged shel shatnez and the beged is intended to be worn, because that's what you do with it, and now I can't wear it because it's shatnez, so there are two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. The Yesh Matirim says, come on, it's a beged. A beged is a beged, right? The fact that you can't wear it doesn't mean it is not a beged. Now, Ha'ikar Kisvara HaRishona, Zok the Mishnah Berurah, that the Ikar is that you should not move at all. A beged shel shatnez, you should not move at all, meaning we hold of this category muktzah machmas iser, which makes it revert back to muktzah machmas gufo. Al kein mashkonos she'enam yehudim aser l'taltalim b'shabbos. Right? Therefore, the goy gives you a mashkon. Right? This is actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach, no? That the guy gives you a mashkon, you're not supposed to use the mashkon all year long, but Leil HaSeder is supposed to take out the mashkonos of the guy. They used to trust the Jews. And Leil HaSeder, you would take the mashkon out and you'd put it down on the Seder table because that makes you feel very wealthy because you have the guy's gold watch, etc. on the Seder table. So Mashkonoshal often they have shatnez. You should not move them on Shabbos because of the shatnez. So an instrument is a keli, right? So a keli has use. The use can be iser use or mutter use. So kalisha matul iser is iser use. If it has no heter use at all, so we said that's machlekes mishnah ben aruch hashulchan, whether it has a din of muktzeh machmas gufo. This shatnez shirt, right? There are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. We pass in that it has a din of muktzeh machmas gufo because the only purpose it has functionally is the iser purpose. It's a shirt. So as of now, we're saying, yeah, exactly. It's not just on Shabbos. It has no heter use ever, right? A beged shel shatnez, what am I going to do with it? That's definition muktzeh machmas gufo. Muktzeh machmas iser. Look at the Alter Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch. The kol zeh, right, is davish yish toras kli alav. Ava kol davish ein toras kli alav. Ve eino machal adam. Ve lo machal behemo. If you have something, right, this is our definition of muktzeh machmas gufo. If I have something that is neither machal adam nor machal behema, it's stones, it's money, it's wood, it is beams, it's dirt, it's sand, right? It is plain flour, and it is a corpse, and balei chayim, that's what we spoke about. B'chol kiyotzi b'dvarim elu, afil davar shurayin l'tashrish bo eza tashrish hamutim b'shabes, gugon avonim, shurayin l'fzoa behen egozim b'tzroa, shurayin l'chasab hem keilim, b'chol kiyotzi behen, keiman shen tores kli aleihem is also l'tautun, afilu l'tzorech gufo mekomo, api adrachim, etc. Right? So that's his definition of muktzeh machmas gufo. So far, so good. Ubichlau muktzeh zeh is kol macholos hasuros b'hanaa sheinu yachol hachil nafilu leklavim. If I have food that is usur b'hanaa, right? So you have basar b'cholov, right? Alpo dog food is okay. We're talking about dogs. They're into dogs. So dog food is often made with mamish basar b'cholov. No. There might be a heter because it's basar nevela, etc. It's a machlokes between the dog omer vav and the rest of Judaism. But the basic idea is that if I have machlokes which are aser b'hana'a, I can't give them to anybody to eat, even to a dog. And even if the iser is midivrei sofim, like stam yenom. And even if the iser is bo b'yom, right? It's only aser today, like tevel. I can't be metakin it after Shabbos. But on Shabbos, I can't be mitakin it, which is an iser d'rabbanon. That is muktzeh machmas gufo, and you can't move it. So something that is aser b'hana'a, right, is muktzeh machmas gufo. But if I have food, which is aser b'achila, and it's mutter b'hana'a, since I can give it to my dog, for example, I have nevelos and shreifos, then I can move it. Because it's not considered Mukta machmas gufo because it has some use. Vim einam odim leklavim machmas yisuran mipnei she'ein yisuran ella b'shabes. Right? Let's say I have the following case. Why don't you try to explain this line to me? Vim einam odim leklavim machmas yisuran neishin yisuran ella b'shabes. Like mashkin shezavu. Explain the last four lines for me. I just underlined it for you. General commentator has four people who are general commentator in this document. It's amazing. All have the same name. Not exactly. Not exactly. Just to explain these four lines that I just... underlined.
If you could give it to a dog, you're not going to?
Yeah. In other words, why not?
You're going to use it later.
I'm going to use it later. It's a funny thing. If I have something which is temporarily usr. It's going to be mutter after Shabbos. For example, milk that came out today. So it's mashkin shezavu, right? Stuff that is milked. Beitzah shenolda b'Shabbos is going to be mutter tomorrow. So technically, I could give it to a dog, but I won't because I'm going to eat it myself tomorrow. So in that situation, it is considered muktzah machmas gufo. Right? So this is another example, muktzah machmas iser. Muktzah machmas iser is either something, again, that will never have a use, or it's something which is asr bahana'ah. Or even if it's asr ba'achila, but it's an iser achila, but I'm going to want to eat it later. So therefore, it is also muktzah machmas gufo. Hello, Mrs. Ross. How are you?
So what if you're meat and you can't have dairy until after Shabbos? Like you're like
Oh.
way 6 hours. Like you cannot touch anything dairy.
So do you have any friends?
Sometimes. I'm kidding. I'm kidding if no one's home, like it's just you.
Do any people show up ever?
Sometimes.
Right, so it's not mukta. Everyone, the whole world, right? Kala olam kulam
Right. Right.
kshalan. It's far-fetched. In other words, the idea is if it's taka ro'oi, right? So yeah, everyone in my family is fleishig, so we're not going to eat milchiks, but it's going to be ro'oi. If I have something that no one can use, like beitzah shenolda, like mashkin shezavu, right? So in that case, right, again, tevel is asr b'hana'ah. So I could be metaking it after Shabbos, but right now I understand it's worse. It's asr b'hana'ah. But if I have something which is asr b'achila, not b'hana'ah, and I could eat it after Shabbos, so therefore it's not ro'oi for animals. So therefore, it is considered mukta machmas gufo.
Animals, or is it anything that's just like a really far-fetched use?
So again, it has to be somewhat reasonable.
Yeah, like is this like
I mean,
the
I'm not going to say because I think the Gemara has an expression that ostriches eat glass. Is that true? I don't know. But you could Google this one. I don't know if it's, but if it's something like that, I don't think that counts as a usage because we don't have ostriches, but people have dogs around.
Yes, but I'll like it, when I would do ostriches, it was not one of the like first 20 buildings yesterday.
Okay, so ostriches do eat glass, apparently.
They will swap anything from stones to poison.
Okay, there you have it. So other examples of mukta machmas gufo, I think are here. If another example mukta machmas gufo is chametz on Pesach, right? Chametz on Pesach is azoi. Hamotzi chametz bebeso. If it's on Chol HaMoed, I take it and I burn it. If it's on Yontiv, so I can't burn it on Yontiv. The assumption is, the Magen Avraham writes, that burning something on Yontiv, you're not allowed to do Havara Shelo Letzorech on Yontiv. One could argue that it is Havara Letzorech. However, the Magen Avraham says that by burning it, that's considered some Isser of Muktzah because there's an Isser of consumption of Muktzah. In addition, right, making the Muktzah totally consumed. That's how the Magen Avraham understands this din. So if I find Chametz on Pesach and it's Yontiv, so Kofa Loves HaKli Ad HaLayla V'Oz Yivarenu Lefi Shen Yuchal Metaltelo B'Yontiv and Gam L'Sarfo B'Mkomo is Aser. But I can't burn it because that's also some sort of iser of using mukta. And I can't move it. So I kofel all of as a kli, I cover it up. So far, so good. Now, this item is mukta, zok the Mishnah Berurah, because it's asr ba'achila and ba'hana'ah. By the way, what do you do, halacha l'maisa? You find chametz on Pesach, but you visited your local Orthodox rabbi And you designate, you do not sell your chametz to the rabbi, by the way. Your rabbi is not interested in buying your stinking chametz, right? But you designate the rabbi as an agent to sell the chametz for you. And now your chametz was sold, but now you find chametz on Pesach. So what do you do? So you're supposed to cover it. That's what we just saw. But that din is when it's my chametz. Or, and then it says in Shulchan Aruch, I burn it on Chol HaMoed. I cover it on Yom Tov, I burn it on Chol HaMoed. But over here, I can't really burn the chametz because it belongs to Slobodan. It's not my chametz. What?
Because it is if you were off here at first.
So if I did, so the halacha is that even though I do bittul chametz, but lamaisa, there still is a concern. Bittul chametz means that it becomes like the dust of the ground, so therefore it becomes like hefgar. Right, but I still sold the chametz, right? The bittul chametz is probably going not on the stuff that I sold, right? The stuff that I sold, Rav Schechter holds you're supposed to sell the chametz earlier and burn your chametz until, say, the Kol Chamira after the chametz was sold, right? So your bittul is going on the last kazayas of chametz, like when we used to sell chametz in John Brown, may he rest in peace. All the rabbis would come and say, each of my congregants has a bag like this that has 10 little crumbs of bread. John, are you willing not to purchase those 10 crumbs? And then John's like, oh yeah, I'm not buying that stuff. Right? That's the way. There are lots of videos on YouTube of Rabbi Willig selling the chametz to John Brown. Rabbi Willig, again, each rabbi used to do it on his own with John Brown. But yeah, John Brown cornered the market on chametz, and he was convinced that what kept him alive was the fact that he was buying all the chametz of everyone in the New York area, and he died right after COVID of Pesach, Pesach of COVID, because that's the one year he didn't actually sell the chametz. Niba v'lo yada masha niba.
We sold him in Cornell when we were JLIC.
Right? I mean, he was the guy. Right? He,
Not, I don't know.
huh? Through Rabbi Wallach, right? So the thing,
What you've been about, though, and not what you sold when you find a random piece.
so the thing is, though, when I find a random piece of chametz, this it says in the Shtar Mechiras Chametz that I am selling the guy any chametz which is in my residence, whatever it is. So that's what I'm selling to the guy. So the Pashtus is the guy is buying all the stuff, with the exception of the stuff that I specify I'm not selling to the guy. Right, like my bag of 10 crumbs.
It says like in the area, like I'm selling all comics in this cupboard.
Well, it says no. In the standard Mechiras Chametz form, it says I'm selling all the chametz in my residence, specifically the chametz that's located, right? There's a it's a carve out. In other words, let's say I have all my chametz in one cabinet. And on Pesach, you end up finding, okay, when you have kids, like 2-year-olds, for example, you end up finding Cheerios, right? That's the thing. So this is a big discussion in Poskim about whether you're allowed to burn the chametz on Pesach now. In the Arkos Shabbos, he's inclined that you dafka should burn it on, that you should burn the chametz on Chol HaMoed. His argument is that it's assumed that the guy isn't really buying that chametz. To my mind, this actually calls into question all of the Mechiras Chametz. Right? If I'm going to say that the guy doesn't really buy it, he doesn't really buy. Let's say I find a Gluska Yafa. I find a birthday cake, right, on Pesach. What happened? I don't know. I missed it, right? So I find the Gluska Yafet. So if I'm going to take it out and burn it, I think I am stealing from John. So I don't know if that's really permitted. I've been asking Poskim about this for a very long time. The Archos Shabbos, I forget which page it is. Oh, here. The Archos Shabbos argues, even if the chametz was sold to the guy, it still is mukta. And he talks about this in Se'if Tav Ches.
Would this phrasing, the humming fine tenses that sell include the hummings noted specifically below? And further, all hummings possessed by me as defined by biblical and law. So that's like if I was, Mahir, and if
Again.
the hummings
No, so
goes over
again.
my house, it actually doesn't belong to me.
So we do mechiras. The bittul chametz we assume is only working on the little bits of chametz that I saw that I didn't see, etc. And the bittul chametz is just that last residue. But if I find a big cake, right? So bittul chametz doesn't help because the gemaras are concerned. Shema yimtza gluska yafe, and I'm gonna come to eat it. Let's say it's machlokes Rashi and Taisis, but I may come to eat it. So then. It's very hard. I think it's very hard to be makel on it's very hard to be makel on burning the chametz on Chol HaMoed that I find because l'maisa it is not mine to burn. Right? It belongs. I'm assuming the mechiras chametz really works. If the mechiras chametz doesn't really work, so again, there are people. One of the proofs I have that our community overdoes drinking is the amount. When you ask people, how much do you have to sell? They're like, $5,000. I'm like, come on. Like, no, I have like 30 bottles of really good scotch or whatever. I mean, I don't know if the math works out. So I think that's a problem. Like, community, today's Musa Shmooze, let's go on. But and that's how you get information about what people. Yeah. That's how you know. So, okay. So, one case of Muktzah Machmas Isser, which again becomes Muktzah Machmas Gufo, is Chometz that you find on Pesach. Beitzah Shenolda B'Shabbes, right? It's Usser to move because it is considered Muktzah. And it's Muktzah Machmas Isser. Which therefore becomes muktzah machmas gufo, right? And the Mishnah Berurah goes through all of the dinim, like the first sugya in Maseches Beitzah, about why is it that Beitzah Shenol de B'Yom Tov is going to be aser. Next, Peiros Shenashu Min Ha'ilon B'Shabbes. If you have fruit that falls off of a tree. That's also in the first sugya in Beitzah. So it's Aser Bo Bayom, and the fruit is considered Muktzah. Since you can't have it now, I will be able to have it later on. I could eat this fruit later on. So this fruit is going to be Muktzah. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Katan Vav. Even if it's a Suffolk. It's going to be mukta. The concern is Shema Yala v'yitlosh, etc. Next, milking cows on Shabbos. Okay. So you did this last year. So we are makel on milking cows on Shabbos al yidei a goy because it's Tzar Bala Chaim. Or we're makel on it when it's holich le'ibud because it's Tzar Bala Chaim. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Hey, right? You're allowed to tell a guy, Mutter lo mala ino Yehudi lachlo behemto b'Shabbes al Tzar Bala Chaim because the cholov is mitzair the animal, but that cholov is aser. Comma, fine. Now this was a big issue right after Hakamat HaMdina. So, Rav Ben Sion Chai Uziel wrote a long tshuva to try to be makel. You see, they didn't want Arabs on the Jewish farms right after Hakamat HaMdina for a number of reasons. And the question is, what do you do about milking the cows on Shabbos? If it's going to be holich le'ibud, so then you're losing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars because. Right, 1/7 of your week's milk production is getting ruined. So, is there any heter to have milking cows on Shabbos, Al Yedei Yisrael? Usually it's Mutar Al Yedei Goy, And it's mutter because it's Tzar Bala Chaim, and then the milk itself is going to be mukta. So you can't move that milk. So what you do is the milk that is milked on Shabbos by the guy, you cover it over, and then after Shabbos, you enjoy it. Right? That's the standard way of operating in the world. That's the standard operating procedure.
It's not measured speaking.
So it is one form. There is schitas peiros, which is there are two forms of schita. There's schita which is in the malabim world, and there's schita which is in the dush world. Schita that's in the malabim world is when I like squeeze a garment to get the water to get the stuff out of it. That's like laundering it. Then there's schita which is in the dush world, which dush by definition means that when I have an ochel that is surrounded by something else. So that is a schita, which is told to the dash. The Bali HaTosfos have a long discussion about why is cholev asur on Shabbos. And there's probably seven different shitas have been shown him, why cholev is asur on Shabbos. There's like some funny Rabbi Nutam that's asur because of memachik, that you're like smoothing the udder when you milk a cow. Again, I have never milked a cow in my life. I can't comment. I don't know. But the pashtus is that it's a tolda of dush. And therefore, the pashtus, right, the animal is considered something that's not food because you can't eat the animal on Shabbos and Yom Tov because it's a live animal. So you're taking ochel out of something that is completely covered. So that would be a malacha d'oraisa of dush. But there is no malacha of dush when it's cholechli ibud, right? Either because that becomes a malacha shein sricha legufa, or by definition, the malacha of dush is I remove something that's an ochel from a non-ochel. And in this case, right, if it's cholechli ibud, it's not an ochel at all. Right? This is, of course, relevant when women are nursing. So the shaila is, right, obviously, you're allowed to nurse babies on Shabbos. That's given. But let's say you just want to pump on Shabbos. So one of the hardest issues is, technically speaking, if you want to just pump on Shabbos, the milk is usser, right? And you have to do like what they call pump and dump, right? Or technically speaking, what you should do is you should pump, let's say, where it's cholechli ibud right away, you pump into the sink and the milk is cholechli ibud.
Why not?
What?
Why not?
Why is it not just mukta? So that's what we have to figure out.
What? You're sort
No,
of what the hell are you? Okay.
so I should violate the malacha of dash when I when I extract milk. When I express milk, I shouldn't be violating the malacha of dash. The heter is if it's cholechli ibud. So cholechli ibud means that, let's say, you would express the milk into a sink. If you want to use a pump, how do you make sure it's cholechli ibud? So what you do is you poskim say that you put like some soap or something in the bottles, and then the milk that comes out is not go is like cholechli ibud. The milk that comes out is ruined. Now, let's say you can't do that. I think Rabbi Sabalowski likes to tell some story about how a woman like put some detergent in her bottles and then nursed, and like she tried to give the baby the milk, and Rabbi Sabalowski is like, okay, like we can't like give this eitzah anymore because it could be dangerous. So there's a shaila what you do. The Avni Nezer has a tshuva on Simin Mem Zayin, which I Bar Ilan was not working for me because there were 40 users already when I wanted to post this. So if you look in Siman Mem Zayin in the Avnei Nezer, it's a relatively short tshuva. The Avnei Nezer says, in his opinion, you can express milk and then dump it after. The heter of pump and it doesn't have to be that's holy for ibud right away. You can have the milk in the bottle for a minute and then you'll dump it after. The Taz assumes that you should not do that. The Avni Nezer says that it's okay. Shlomo Zalman writes in the, I think I emailed you some sources. So Shlomo Zalman writes in one place, I don't remember if this is exactly what I emailed to you or not. Shlomo Zalman writes that you should try to make sure that you don't have a grogeres in one shot, that you don't accumulate a fig size. So you should be dumping each time. The assumption is, like Ritzi Pesach Frank has this, that we'll assume that because it's a chatzi shir, it's like a lower level of iser, and it's not going to be holy ibud in the sense of getting destroyed right away. It'll be holy ibud just because I'm dumping it after. But in deference to the position of the Taz, you should try to not have a full shir each time. The way to do this, by the way, bepashtus, is it's much better to use an electric pump that's set up on the timer rather than doing it biyadayim. You're doing it biyadayim, even if you do it with a shinui, but each squeeze is. Do they still sell hand pumps even? I don't know. They still sell them. But it's better if you can set it up that you attach the pump to you, to yourself, before it goes on, and then it begins to extract the milk. That's the best way to pump on Shabbos, because you're not doing any ma'isa. But again, then the milk that then I violate the malacha of dosh unless I do pump and dump, right? Now, oftentimes, I think there is my understanding is that when women nurse, they put like a little cup on the other breast because like some milk begins to come out from the other breast also. So the thing is that that milk that comes out, l'cha'ora, right, even if I'm going to dump it, but that milk that comes out is really muktzah, no? And even the milk that comes out and it goes, right, let's say I'm doing the Avni Nezer, or even if it's, it's being holich le'ibud because I have detergent in the bottles. But the milk that comes out, l'cha'ora, should be mukta. So then what? I don't know of a good heter. I asked Rav Schechter about this morning, and then I asked Rabbi Weider. I was looking for some other people around the Beis Medrash to ask them. I didn't find. But I guess that's on tape now. But what's the... My understanding is, you correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that the standard practice is that women will pump and then they'll take the milk and dump it. Right?
Yeah, I think I just asked a friend about this because she told me she got some kula experience. But yeah, I think that is standard practice. But a lot of women, if they have like a manual hand pump, they'll just like pump over the sink.
Okay. So you pump over the sink, so then it's holich le'ibud, and that's great. And then, and then, but let's say I'm nursing regularly, and I just have that milk that comes out in that little cup.
My I texted Rabbi Berger about this, and I didn't ask the muksa question, so he didn't address it. He said that I didn't need to dump the milk out, but he
He
didn't
said
say
you
that.
do need to dump it out.
No, he said I didn't need to. If there's no like manual expression going on, it's just like caught by something, then you don't need to throw it out. But he
So
said,
what do you do with it?
yeah, I don't know.
So I thought that the milk that just comes out has the Damashkin Shezavim. If I have, let's say, a fruit that's really ripe and liquid just comes out, me'elav, so it's a form of mukta called Mashkin Shezavim that we saw in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch Hikkur, right? That's the sugya of being a beitza. So I thought the stuff that comes out just naturally should be Mashkin Shezavim. And therefore, it should be mukta.
What was the you're moving it so that it doesn't get ruined when you leave it in the sun? Or you have to fridge that milk.
I
Does
have to.
that help you with the
So that's the question, does it? I don't know. Like, I want to save the milk and a hanami, right? Like, milk, I believe women consider it, men, because it's like liquid gold. Like, this is not stuff that you want to get lost, right? My understanding is that this is like one of the harder areas of halacha for women. Tamara is shaking her head. Yes, absolutely, Rabbi. This is really difficult. But what I don't understand is oftentimes women will pump with their pump and it goes into the bottles. And then they'll take the bottle and they'll move it and dump it into the sink. Okay?
Anyone would pump into a bottle, and is there's no vinegar in the bottle,
There's no what's it called in the bottle?
like vinegar.
So people will put vinegar in the bottle and then pump.
Yeah, so I think the detergent thing I never heard, and that makes sense. But vinegar wouldn't hurt the baby; they would just not drink
Okay,
it.
but it ruins the milk, so it's
Exactly.
totally.
Into a bottle and then dumping it.
Okay, well, I'll say there. I mean, the Avni Nezer in his tshuva has that. But even like the extra milk that comes out on the from the other breast, I think that milk is potentially real mukta. And I think the standard practice is that you take that cup and then what do you do with it?
Now moving it so that it doesn't get ruined. So
Where did we have that? I don't remember. I mean, I
not
had.
leaving it in the sun.
So, not leaving.
If you leave it in the sun, then it
No,
won't
so
ruin it.
again, so I'm make on Kli Shemalachdo Lehetar Mechamalatzel. Kli Shemalachdo Leiser, I'm not make Mechamalatzel. Mukta Machmas Gufo, which is what this would be, right, would for sure not be Mutter Mechamalatzel. Right, there might be a special kula by a mace. Right? But even by a mace, we're only metalto the mace, aiden kikaratino. Mace is also muksamach maskufo.
Say that the baby could drink this milk today.
But
I
the
think
baby can't because
maybe you could say it's baby.
no,
Maybe.
because I violated a malacha. Right? If the baby is
No,
going to
but
drink,
sometimes
what?
if it's just let down that there's no malacha that's violated.
Right,
It's like
but
something which is also going on or not.
so it's just stamazai
But why would people? I thought the whole concept of matching is that who is in Zereshemi is spoke. Like, you're allowed to nurse on Shabbos.
So I'm allowed to nurse on Shabbos, but I'm not allowed to nurse and save the. I'm allowed to nurse when it goes straight into the baby's mouth,
Because
right?
then there's no liquid.
It never ended up in a separate area. And so Mashkin Shezavu L'cha'ora should apply to this. The fact that I can't benefit from this thing. Well, I'm not allowed to.
Why? Because it's
Because
mukta.
the halacha says that it's mukta.
That's so. Why is it mukta?
No, it's mukta because since there's a gezeira derabbanan that I might climb up the tree and pull it off. So the gzeirah, so the chachamim asered mashkin shezavu, and there's a gzeirah derabbanan that if we would permit the milk, so I might come to extract milk directly on Shabbos, which would be a malacha of dash. So therefore, they asered the milk that comes out on its own.
Where do we see that with milk ever? Yeah, like is that Gezira ever explicitly applied to
So
talking?
I don't know why it shouldn't be.
Also, is the Svara of Lagave the baby breast milk is oko? Not a mashke.
So yeah,
Ooh, that's
right, when it goes into and therefore what? But therefore I'm still taking but I'm still extra it's still dosh. Oh. There's no, because Mashkin Shezavu was only on Mashkin. In other words, it still would be a malach of dash
Yeah.
because I'm extracting ochel from a non-ochel, right? A person is not ochel, right? So we have to agree about this, right? People are not ochel. So you're saying that if the breast milk is considered ochel, not Mashke, so maybe there's no gezeira Mashkin Shezavu. Well, that's a nice svar. I haven't seen anyone who says that. Right, so that would mean that the stuff that comes out on its own would not be muksa out mashkin shezavu. I'm curious who says that svara. That's nice. But the stuff that, let's say, a woman though is expressing a milk into a bottle and then she'll throw it out, right? Even if there's vinegar in the bottle.
That's what he is right.
So how am I allowed to then take those bottles and bring it to the sink and dump it out Right? Is there not an Isser of total mukta on?
Like either just don't do that, or I need the bottle. Then, well, so you don't have
But
to
it's
work on
mukta machmas gufo, so I don't have a heter, right? So this is a question that I was bothered by, and I asked the two rabbis also this morning. I don't know. I don't know. There has to be an answer to this, Kasha. I figured that like you would know this better than I would.
they comprehend.
So if you pump directly into the sink, then it's holy ibud right away. That's gewaldic. Right? As you use a hand pump and you do ayude some sort of shinui, it's probably cumbersome to use an electric pump. But
Well,
if
the shinoi, if you're doing, if it's you have sa'ar
Oh no,
and
enochanam, no, you don't need right. In other words, then I'm doing it directly, it's holy ibud. Yeah, that's fine.
that's like standard. That's
Okay.
a rabbi word.
Fine. Right now, so you go to the sink and you use the hand pump and it goes straight down to the sink and it's holy chlibud. Great. But my understanding is that people will not always do it that way. Again, if you could like do a survey, if you could do a survey for me.
I know all the women involved. But
Perfect.
yeah, I never thought about the Moksa element.
Right, that not did I.
But I remember also from when I remember from when I asked him, usually it's like a new invention, like this thing that you could actually like put on the other side. There's no suction involved. And it could, I think people just use like pads or something so that it doesn't get messy.
Right.
But now there is actually like a non-messy, convenient way to collect the.
And you could collect the milk. And my guess is that during the week, if you're trying to build up a supply, you would take that little bit and pour it into the bottle with the other milk, right? So the question is, should there be an iser mashkim shezavus? So Brandy has a good svara. I'm curious as to, I'd love that svara if anyone says it. So that would solve that one issue. If not, I think what people usually do is they just take that little cup and they throw it out.
They're not saving the milk, then they're not, they don't have anything to collect. They just have like some sort of napkin or pad.
Okay. I mean, they don't use that little shield or whatever it is.
It's called a ladybug.
A ladybug?
Yeah, that's the name of the
Okay.
thing. Have you heard of it?
So this is, oh, yeah, but certainly the stuff, if you're not going to go straight into the sink, so we have to figure out a way of, no, it's the Avni Nezer, and that's Simon Mem Zayin that you could find. Right? The Avni Nezer is mekel on even if you're mekabel in a kli and then you dump it after. But I don't know how that solves an issue of mukta. It seems to me that that would still be a concern. Or again, I'll say it like this. We have to come up with some way that it's not a concern. I gave you a source. I emailed you a source in the Shmir Shams Kolchasa. So if someone could take that email and like maybe put it into the document.
You want to put also?
No, it's mostly the footnote. It's mostly there is a footnote Kuf Samach Dalet. Think it's Perichof Zayin. Okay. So I can't read it the way it is. I mean, I could read it on my phone.
Hold on.
Huh? Is it coming? Oh, let's see. Oh, there it is. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah. So first of all, you see in the part that's under on page Taf Lamed, right? The part that's under the main section. So he says, Cholav shenechlav ba'achas hadrachim hamutaros, bein al yedei nochri, bein al yedei mechona, right? Whether a guy or a machine or whatever, I just lost it again. It's al yedei a guy or a machine.
Now we're back.
We're back to cows. We are talking about cows over here, correct? So he says that it is usur because it is mukta. It's usur because it's mukta. So then in the note kuf samach dalet, where does that start? I'm having a hard time to find it.
Like all the way on the edge.
All the way. Oh, okay. So I don't know if I. So he quotes Siman Shin Samach Hei Sivchav, the Mishnah Berurah Sivchat and Ayin Aleph, that since the Cholav is Muktzah, so you have to be Cholav in a way that the Cholav goes straight into the pail, and you'll guard it until after Shabbos, because once Acharei HaChaliva, it's also L'taltilo. But maybe you could be Mekel, based on the following things. He talks about whether it makes it bosses or not. So maybe it does not become bosses. And then later on in this, he has a second heter. Beis. You see, it's like all that, it's the last word in the line. Tiltoha el whatever. Hey, you really does that. In other words, that maybe you could attach something to the pail, something else, and that makes the pail not only designed for the milk. But the point is, he says that they point out this is not correct because over here you're doing it letzorech the milk. In that case, in Shulchan Aruch, you're doing it for something somewhere else. But, right, maybe. He says, "Od yesh lahatir." Three lines from the bottom, the Tata Cholov and the Chaya Adam, who says, "B'makom hefsid yesh l'taltel tilto muksa afu b'makom she'en chash shemayavo lasos iser chamor." Right, and based on this, the Chaz Nishra was matir the frum kibbutzim, etc. Now I have to get to the next page. The frum kibbutzim that they could move the milk, right? The guy would do the milking, and then they would move the milk and save it somewhere else because b'makom hefsid, you could be mekel on total muktzah. Now, I think that's for b'makom hefsid. If a woman, let's say, gets a heter to save milk, let's say the baby is only drinking breast milk or something, again, these are hard heterim to give. So then you have the makom hefsid svara. But if you're already holich le'ibud, if the woman expressed milk into what you said vinegar, which apparently is what they use, they don't use detergent, right? So if you express milk into vinegar, so it's holich le'ibud, it like ruins the milk right away. But I don't know if there's a heter to move it out to makom hefsid. I don't know if this chayyeh adam is going to give me a kula. So this is something I'm uncertain about. So this is homework for you, right? To figure out what the heter is on the total muktzah in these cases. Again, if people don't do it, so that's the heter. But if you're relying on the Avni Nezer, certainly, so then what's it called? Yeah, if you're relying on the Avni Nezer, so then I don't know what the heter is to take that bottle and then move it and dump it in the sink. Okay. You want me to try to hear? Oh, okay.
It's very vague that when I was talking about like the milk collection, they just say that it's not considered whatever, and the milk is halachically permissible to produce after Shabbos.
The milk is halachically permissible after Shas. What am I doing exactly?
It doesn't say. And then on the bottom, they just include a medical note saying, FYI, milk should be refrigerated within 1 hour. To be considered safe for the
Right, so that's
but they skirt the issue.
Yeah, again, I just don't know. I mean, I just don't know a really good heter for this thing. I'm like, my answer by weirdo this morning. He's like, "Are you looking for a kula?" I'm like, "Yes, I am." He's like, "Is that okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I think it's okay in this case." But my understanding is that it's not as uncommon as you say it is. That I think people actually do. What's it called? People actually do. Well, again, it's Derech Ibud. If I assume here, let me show you this Tshuva in the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer writes that's considered Derech Ibud if I store it up, if I put it in the keli and then I throw it out. No? Yeah. Look at this Tshuva in the Avnei Nezer. It doesn't have to be all bolded. We'll get rid of that. Okay. In other words, this is a tshuva, asher nistapek, this that your son-in-law has a suffix, b'mashen nohagin, hanoshen shemitzaris mechobam, l'hakeh hacholam mitadehem b'kli zechuches, which is called a mumpa, right? I guess that's a pump, right? Isn't it mefarik? So he says, well, the Or Zeruah says that it's mutar lachol v'lakarka, even though yecholiv b'yad, right? Mikol makom it's mutter, right? V'afshechol biyad, biyad gam kain should be a malacha gemur. Mikol makom mutter. Afshechol bekli ve'ena mashkechol chaliva b'shas chaliva. But the Or Zeruah writes that the reason why it's mutter is because it's like vashem shesachtem legufan. If I don't like the pickle, I don't like the really moist pickle, so I squeeze the pickle so that the liquid comes out. That's Vashem Shesachta and Legufan, so that's okay. And the Arzura also has a second reason, it's Malacha Shein Svicha Legufa, which make up Makom Tsar. These svaras apply even if I'm Mekel in the Kli. So he says, basically, that it's Mutter even if it goes into the Mampa. I think that's what he says, no? The Taz doesn't say that, he writes. But if it's a makom tsar, so it's going to be mutter like the Or Zeruah says. He understands even if it goes into the keli, goes into kli zechuches. Again, Reb Shlomo Zalman in the Shmir Shabbos. Yeah, let me get you back in the comments on this. Yeah. So one second. First of all, the Bir Halacha writes in Simin, the Bir Halacha writes that's going to in Simin that's going to be Iser Doraisa of Mefarik. Okay, fine. And then here, the Shmir Shabbos is Perek Lamed Vav Din Chaf Aleph Ha'aras Samach Daled. That's where he writes that you can do this thing in a kli. Just be careful that it doesn't get kegrogeres. That doesn't accumulate a grogeres. If any of you have the Shmir Shabbos over here, but upstairs. Okay, I mean, if you take a look at the Shmir Shabbos, again, that's the old one. I might be able to find it in here. This is in the new one. It's Shmir Shabbos, it's Perek Lamed Vav here. And we can try to find it in that old one also. Yeah, look in Perek Lamed Vav, the halachos of nursing.
Another question.
Yeah.
So say you have a woman who's wearing like the shell or something and clothing. And now the milk is there. So she can't move.
What?
So what does she do?
Right, so I'd assume that you can't be stuck with the whole Shas. I'd assume that you take it and you have to put it down. Again, Brandy has her svara.
Also that we talked about, sorry, whether it loses its torus ova, or like Mashkin Shezavu would be a Xera on the gabbro, probably, right? It doesn't create
Well, I
mukta,
mean,
that's not
but
food,
we
so it
pass
wouldn't
in that
be.
it becomes mukta anyway.
Even if the dose, I thought that was the distinction in Asarbahana versus totally up to
No,
me.
no, no, no. Remember, it's usser today. It's going to be mutter tomorrow,
Okay.
right? So therefore, even though it's usser b'chah here, this is the Shmiras Shabbos on in this edition. It's footnote 661, right? He says, "Im kashelo b'derech zu lahotzias hacholav ha'odef mutter lahotzio af b'mash'eva hamiyuchedet l'kach yesh lahakpin lahariket hamash'eva li'itim krovot kedei shelo yitztaber ba." Chalav harbei, right? And in the footnote, he writes, "This is the Avnei Nezer Siman Mem Zayin," and he quotes in the Ktzos HaShulchan. That's Rabbi Avram Chaim Noe. V'nira d'shir shel harbei Ritzon Olam shelo yitaseif b'mash eva shir shel krogeras, which is a shlish beitza. And you have to dump it out l'makom that it's holeich le'ibud. Dimlo kein shuv yitztaref l'kishir. They dump it out into the sink. So the question is, what's my heter to move it? Shouldn't it be an iser of mukta? This is again the question that I thought of last night, and I asked both Rav Shechter and Rabbi Weider this morning. So Rav Shechter says, "Yeah, who says it's mutter?" That was the way he said it. Rabbi Weider is like, "Are you looking for a kula?" That was like the exchange in both cases. I don't know. Again, you can take a look. This is where he has it's Perek Lamed Vav, it's Din Chaf. Then usually what's done is like if it comes out on a diaper or something, so if it's something that you're not makbid the sochato, so there's going to it's considered like it's holich le'ibud over there, and there's no concern, no gezeirah shemigisvot. I think that's more standard. This little cup is a relatively new invention, right?
I just want to know the Samara. So now if she has it and it's attached to her, so you're going to say she's not stuck on Shabbos.
But again, I think it's like, let's say I'm holding a stone. If I pick up a stone, I'm holding the stone, so I have to put it down right away. Yeah. Oh, no. Well, if I'm near the fridge, if I do it right near the fridge, I don't know if I could carry it from my bedroom to the fridge.
You're on your couch. You just.
Yeah, so I take it and I put it down on the table right next to the couch.
Maybe a good answer on
No,
that
in other words, that's what we spoke about. Like, Kwisham Lachdo. Let Isser, I have a heter to move. What? If you have a mini fridge right next to where you are, that's great. This is a new chumrah to buy a new mini fridge. Okay.
that. They keep a mini fridge next to their bed, usually actually to do nighttime eating. If they live in a whole house, they don't want to go downstairs and go shopping.
Okay, so that would be wonderful. In other words, so then if you end up like nursing by the bed, so you just take it and then you put it in the mini fridge, and that's okay. Again, unless we hold the brandy sort, there's no gezeirah of mashon shezavu, which I'd be curious to see if any poskim say. But in any event, I have the kasha on the other on the milk with vinegar. So that is what I wanted to speak about with mukta machmas iser. Okay. Mukta machmas iser is when the iser makes something unusable, so therefore it's not a kli, and therefore it's not an ochel, therefore it reverts to mukta machmas gufo. But that's what we began with, that's what the Alter Rebbe writes in the Shulchan Aruch, that's how we began today. So far, so good? Okay, question, should we begin buses now? I'm inclined that there's too much to say on buses. You're giving shir on Tuesday, right? Okay, so Thursday is Tainus Esther, and right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go like this.